Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're located at the Game Bar and Grill, and right next to us, the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you want to place a bet on tonight's Thursday night football action or any of this weekend's college and NFL games going on week five, and maybe even a Monday night action in Kansas City, the Saints taking on the Chiefs.
I was just talking to a guy about that Monday night action on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He's going into the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor this weekend. Former Jesuit High School, Tulane University, Denver Bronco. Well, he played quarterback at Jesuit and Tulane, and safety with the Denver Broncos. Steve Foley. Steve, Mike, great to hear from you, and congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, Mike and Steve. Appreciate it.
Steve, before we talk about the Ring of Honor stuff when you play with the Broncos, man, I'm old enough, I go back. And you should never have to buy a drink or any kind of, you know, dinner or supper anywhere if you had a Tulane restaurant, because you were part of the group in 73, 25-year drought. Tulane had not beaten LSU, caught them in Tulane Stadium, and were able to win that game against LSU. And what a lot of people don't remember, the year before, Steve, you guys had them there too. And, it came down to a stop late in the fourth quarter. I think it was Racine for LSU that ended up making the tackle. But you had the 1 or 2 yard line at that point. But the feeling of that point of finally getting that heavy burden off the back of Tulane, that you finally got to beat LSU.
Yeah, you know, that game where we lost, it was actually the 1 foot line, and Frank Racine made a great tackle on our fullback. We had no timeouts. You couldn't spike the ball back then, which was interesting. And so we were out of timeouts. We had to call a play. We called a play. My back was open for a second, flipped it to him, and his time's running out, and the whole stadium just went silent because nobody knew if he had scored or not. And they uncovered those two, and he was on the 1 foot line. And it was at that time, it was a great, our defense was great. They held LSU, who were, you know, power ranked teams at that time. They were going to the Orange Bowl, and we held them without a touchdown for 2 years in a row. And, you know, that game, they got 3 field goals. They beat us 9-3. And the next year, we shut them out. And so, yeah, when we walked in the locker room, we knew we had the guys that could play with LSU, that we didn't have to psych ourselves up so much to try and win a Hail Mary game. We knew we had the team to play with them. And that next year, we showed it. It was just a great team win, and we had a lot of good players and a lot of guys from New Orleans, you know, on that team.
Steve, this goes back a few years with me, and I don't know why it popped in my mind last night as we were setting up this interview, but this is, I think, the last year of what they had, the recruiting bash. If you remember, it was back in February. Everybody would sign in February. Now they do it in December, and it's sort of an afterthought. There's a few guys that sign in February. So I'm at the Tiger Bash. I'm one of the speakers there. And all of a sudden, Johnny Robinson, former LSU great, now in Pro Football's Hall of Fame, he sits down next to me, and we start talking, and he brings up, you know, what are you doing today and that sort of thing. And he said, hey, when I was in the World Football League, guess who I coached? Steve Foley. And so until he told me that, I didn't piece that together. He said, Mike, I had a feeling that time, let me get into coaching. Then he said, I figured out they didn't pay too much. I had to do something else. But he said, no, Steve was in the transition from being an offensive player to a defensive player, and I coached him. And, man, Johnny was just an unbelievable safety in the 60s, early 70s with the Chiefs. And so that feeling to work under a guy who played that safety position at the highest level.
Well, I tell you what, Johnny Robinson had a huge impact on my life. Not only a tremendous impact, I looked up to him as he's one of the greatest safeties ever played the game. And here he was as my coach. But Johnny had a huge impact on me as a football player and how to think as a defensive back. And he had a lot of patience with me. And but spiritually, he had one of the biggest impacts of any person, you know, in my life. And so with Johnny Robinson, I am forever grateful. I love him as a coach and as a man. And that's where I was born again. I'm at 21 years old, just watching a guy like Johnny Robinson, who was transformed by God. And I asked God to reveal himself to me. And lo and behold, he did in miraculous ways. And I gave my life to him. And I have not looked back. And God's promises and his faithfulness has been tremendous for me in my life and my family's life. So, yeah, Johnny Robinson, I love that guy.
I asked him, I said, did you think Steve would play that well on defense? He looked at me kind of, you know, sighed. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew it real quick that he could do it. Your thoughts on being inducted into the Ring of Honor in Denver? Now, I saw an interview you did. You thought when they first contacted you, this was all about Randy Gradishar, who just got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So how did that work out when you got the call?
Well, it did. And so Patrick Smythe, who's, you know, been with the Broncos for a long time, and he has a lot of, you know, he's got a big role with the Broncos and with the voting on this and presenting candidates to the Ring of Fame committee. And Patrick Smythe called me and said, hey, Steve, stay by your phone because Greg Penner is going to give you a call. He wants to talk to you about a few things. And I thought, because we hadn't had a Ring of Fame in a couple of years since Peyton Manning, and I thought that Randy being inducted, we're going to throw a big shindig, and maybe it's something about, you know, what do you think? Would we take a big contingency of players to Canton, you know, or something like that? That's where my mind was at. And when Greg Penner got on the phone and we chit-chatted about the team and about Sean Payton and, you know, how lucky we are to have him and what he did at New Orleans, which, by the way, I used to follow him all the time at New Orleans. New Orleans was always my favorite team besides the Broncos. I was pulling for them every step of the way. And every time they, you know, when they went to a Super Bowl, I'm like, come on, baby, bring it to New Orleans. But Greg Penner dropped that bombshell on me, and I didn't know what to say. I was stunned. I was like,
Steve, go ahead.
I was like, really? I was like, for real? And he said, yeah, for real. And I was like, man, that's an incredible honor. An incredible honor, Greg, and I just feel, you know, blessed and humbled and honored. And there's a lot of things in your life that you don't get to, you know, you didn't make up your genetics. You were born with them. You didn't make up whether or not you could be fast or slow. You're born with that. And you didn't get to play 11 years without getting serious injuries. You had no control over that because so many accidents happen on the field. It's a collision sport, and by the grace of God, I was allowed to do that. So I'm like just thankful and grateful.
Steve, what I think is phenomenal too, the legacy you leave behind. Obviously, the Broncos recognize that, and you last played in 1986, I think it was, but you still hold the career record for most interceptions in franchise history. That's really impressive.
Steve, they're dropping a lot of interceptions, right?
as a quarterback, you were always handling the ball. So I used to joke with some of the corners on the team and other guys. I'm like, man, if you could catch, you'd have so many interceptions. Come on. But I was, I was blessed in that area. I could catch, and you don't get a lot of them. So you kind of, and I was always playing flag football in New Orleans, you know, in the off seasons and stuff. So I loved, you know, flag football in New Orleans and touch football games and playing that my whole life. So, you know, you kind of got used to it, and I'm kind of at a loss for how did this happen to me? You know, how did I, a guy growing up at going to Jesuit, you know, and going to play at Tulane 10 blocks from my house and walking on, and Dr. Sayre and a bunch of doctors paid my first year. And he thought I'd be a good football player, and that's what he told me. And so a lot of people don't know that. They think I had a scholarship to Tulane, but I didn't. I walked on, and Dr. Sayre and a group of doctors, Klein Schmidt and orthopedic surgeons for Tulane and the Saints, and they paid my way as a freshman. Then I got a scholarship.
Man, you earned that scholarship afterwards. Steve, was there a quarterback that you saw on the schedule and you say, man, that guy, he gives me more trouble than anybody else? Was that one guy that you were geared up to say, I know that individual is going to give us a lot of issues?
Well, you know, two of them or three of them come to mind, but really, probably if I had to say, the guy that gave me the most consternation was the Snake, Kenny the Snake Stabler. I mean, not only did he have a huge line, he had great running backs. They had 3 or 4 seconds to throw the ball, so it was murder on coverage. And they had Cliff Branch, who was world-class speed on one side, and Biletnikoff, who was just a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Both of them were. And, you know, the same with Bradshaw and having Stallworth and Swan. You know, when you got a team that's got 2 NFL Hall of Famers, and with like the Raiders did and the Steelers did, man, it's tough sledding usually. But we were able to hold our own, but they were great quarterbacks and had great receivers.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. First of all, man, congratulations and well-deserved honor. God bless you, brother. And it was a little overdue, but you got in. That's the important thing.
Hey, all in God's timing. It's never too late, never too early. So I'm happy right where it falls.
Your time, Steve.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, tremendously. Thank you.
All righty.
Man, we got the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor inductee on the air with us. That was pretty impressive, Mike.
Hey, listen to his voice. You know damn well where he grew up. He ain't lost that accent from
indeed.
New Orleans. You could tell exactly that. Maybe he's hearing us talk, so you sort of parrot it a little bit, even though I ain't from New Orleans, but whatever. Man, Steve, great player, and I remember him at Tulane those years. Man, him and Terry Looney beating LSU. Man, my dad was so upset. You know, that they beat LSU.
Oh, that had to be so monumental.
You know, 25 years.
Right.
And then it came so close the year before. And then to beat them in old Tulane Stadium. No, Benny Ellen. Benny, he would tell some stories about that. He said it was deafening that night on the sidelines. You
awesome.
Couldn't hear.
Yeah.
So he said, man, I would talk to my assistants. I would tell them, listen, this is what we're going to do. And it was like, I can't hear you.